Hello, my name is Scott Bradley, and this is the Jersey Net Podcast. And as always, this podcast is brought to you by Forest Precision Engineering, and I'm over the moon to be joined by former Rangers star Dean Shields. Dean, how are we?
Good. Thanks for having me on, Scott.
You're very welcome, mate. I've been looking forward to this one for a good while, and I'm glad to finally get you on the podcast. And we'll just dive right into it, mate. We've got a lot to talk about, and I just want to speak about your unbelievable career, Dean. And I just want to start from the beginning. Was the aim always to be a professional footballer right from a young age?
Yeah, I think it was. I think I was just like every other kid probably growing up. I was just obsessed by the game, and I was always with the ball. I was always playing with the ball, whether it's out on the street, out with my mates. It was just something that was there from till the lights went dark, or the lights came on and it was dark, and I had to go in to go to bed. I think I played 24/7. I think it was just I fell in love with the game at a young age. So obviously, if I could try and form a career and stay in football, then that was always the plan for any young player, and thankfully I managed to do that.
And obviously, you grew up a big Rangers man as well. Am I correct in saying?
Yeah, obviously I live in a very stronghold Rangers area, and it was very much Rangers. I think Paul Gascoigne was a big one. I think when he was at Rangers, that was the bit that sort of that was my time growing up as a Rangers fan. When Gazza was there, I was a wee bit in awe of Gazza and the way he played and just his whole personality. It was just those times, obviously Loudrop and those types of players I always liked to watch, you know.
And you came through the ranks at Arsenal, right? And can you tell me what that experience was like for you, and what kind of players were you playing alongside?
No, it was brilliant. As I said, I went there as I was at Arsenal for 3 years, so I'd done my first year apprenticeship, and then I was there 2 years professional. And it was brilliant. I loved every minute of it. Obviously, I moved away from a small village in Northern Ireland to go to the bright lights of London, which was difficult for me, to be honest, to adjust and adapt. But once I settled in and got to know a lot of the lads and a lot of the clubs, it was a brilliant for any young player. Said there was world class players in the first team, that there was world class young players amongst the youth players. So just being in that environment and being able to learn from unbelievable coaches, it was just a great place for a young player to be at the time. And obviously the first team had obviously the top stars of Henry, Vieira, Bergkamp, Pires, Sol Campbell. They had so many Patrick Vieira. They had so many great stars. There was a brilliant crop of young players coming through, the English players that possibly had to move on, of Jerome Thomas, Jermaine Pennant, Sebastian Larsson, Justin Hoyt would have been in my year. Fabregas came and would have spent little bits in time with us, Cesc, but he was mainly thrown straight in with the first team. I think he was playing for the first team at 16, so he didn't spend too much time with us. But there was a core of Irish players that I was very close with, that Stephen Bradley, Graham Barrett, Stephen O'Donnell, and Patrick Craig, who, because Liam Brady being Irish, he was the head of the academy there. So no, so many brilliant players to play alongside, and great coaches, great facilities, just everything was perfect.
And then obviously after Arsenal, Tony Mowbray signed you for Hibs, and when you look back at that Hibs team, mate, it was unbelievable. Some of the players that were in it: Scott Brown, Kevin Thompson, Derek Riordan, Gary O'Connor, just to name a few. But how would you look back at your time at Hibs and the team that you played in? Because I remember during that period, I think people were even saying that Hibs team, they were probably good enough to actually go on and win the title.
Yeah, I think we were a brilliant team with brilliant players, and I think if we had have stayed together, I think eventually we would have won the title. But at the time when all that group was together, we were just too naive, we were too free, we weren't as disciplined in regards to tactically, but we were just playing young lads, playing with freedom, going and attacking the Old Firm when we played them. Just really playing like a really good brand of open football. And as you said, if we maybe added or got that little bit of experience of staying together, the group didn't stay together long enough. So after maybe 1 or 2 years with the success, Mowbray moved on. That was a killer when Tony Mowbray left, because it really declined from there, from the coaching side of it. And then obviously the players started to go after that. Obviously Scott Brown went. Was a big blow as well, and then Gary Caldwell, and there was just so many talented players there, and the bigger clubs were just coming. And with Hibs's financial difficulties at the time, they had probably no choices but to sell players on, you know.
So what was it like playing under Tony Mowbray? Because as you say, like the football that you were playing was some, it was great stuff. So it was, but what was it like playing under a manager like him?
That was perfect. See, for a young player coming through, he showed no fear in playing young players. So at the time I went when I was 19, so it was perfect environment for me. As I said, we were a group of friends that got on really well off the park. I think which helped. We had a little bit of experience sprinkled in with Stephen Glass and Gary Smith, those types of really good pros, but predominantly, we were just a young team that were just Mowbray gave us the freedom to go on and play and express ourselves. I think Stephen Whittaker and David Murphy were our two fullbacks. They were so attacking. They were so talented players. They got forward at every opportunity, and we didn't really show too much fear of the opposition. And sometimes, as you said, we were caught. We were beat maybe with a little bit of lack of experience. But no, Mowbray was brilliant. Mowbray knew. He was a great person. He was honest. If you weren't playing, he would tell you why. There was no nonsense with him, which you get with some managers. And it was just a really good place to go to work every morning. It was a brilliant time. Just young lads around a similar age going out together, playing together, and it was just great.
So what was it like playing under John Collins? Because as you say, like it was a killer when Tony Mowbray left, but what was your relationship like with John Collins?
John Collins sort of just tried to maybe bring his own players in. I think he went down the route of bringing in players from possibly overseas he obviously played in France, and he brought in a French fitness coach, and he had different ideas from his time at Monaco, I think. And I think obviously those ideas probably he couldn't transfer those ideas to Scottish football, I think. He would probably admit that himself, I'm sure. And I think he brought in the French guy Roger, what was more I think he tried to change too much too soon, which then maybe came resentment from the players. Obviously we were so successful under Mowbray, and he just tried to do it his way. And I think obviously John Collins was successful in winning a trophy at the time, but I just don't think it was probably a good period to be there. From my personal point of view, I don't really feel as if he helped my game in any way. He didn't really give me much of a run in the team at times. And I don't think he handled big personalities too well. But as you said, that's part and parcel. I think it was John Collins' first job as a manager as well, and it was maybe a difficult time for him to come in with Mowbray leaving. And maybe some of the players were. I know Scotty Brown was trying to get away at the time, and Kevin Thompson had left, and there was big players leaving. So maybe, but I do think that John Collins was backed. I think he was backed strongly in the transfer market. He signed Alan O'Brien from Newcastle, I think, for a lot of money. He signed Yves Magalambi, the goalkeeper off Chelsea, for a lot of money, and I just think it just didn't work.
And you obviously you mentioned that John Collins couldn't exactly handle big personalities. One in particular is Michael Stewart, because they had a row back in the day. What was that whole situation over?
Yeah, I just feel as if, as you said, the big personalities maybe was something that maybe John struggled with. I don't want to dwell too much into it because I've seen John since, and I've there's no issues with him, but I think there was an issue there with Michael. I think actually Michael's personality. I think first and foremost, Michael was a good player. He was a good player, especially at Hibs at that time. He'd done well for Mowbray, and Mowbray had brought him in, and maybe John Collins just wanted something different. And because Mikey, you see his opinion now on the TV, he's got a strong opinion of standards. He came through at Man United, and maybe his views were different than what John Collins was trying to do. And I think that there was a clash there. I don't think Mikey was treated overly great, to be honest. I think Mikey was asked to come in at different times from the rest of the squad, and he was completely frozen out. So look, there was issues of that with a lot of players there, including myself at the time. And so I think John just wanted to bring in his own players, and there was a wee bit of obviously a well-documented incident with the disagreement from the playing staff and the squad with the management.
And you left Hibs in 2009. Did you feel as though at that moment you were like, right, I need a new challenge now? Because I think Miksu Patalainen was the manager at the time. So did you feel as though at that time you're like, yeah, I want to just move on and do something different?
Yeah, I think so. I think obviously when Miksu came in, obviously when Miksu came in, John Collins didn't have me anywhere near the squads, and I was training on my own or training with the youth team players on a Saturday morning. I remember without balls, and then Miksu came in and he started me in the first game. I think Miksu had said previously that he'd seen me playing for the reserves and had shown a good attitude, so I scored a hat trick in my first game back. Against Inverness for Miksu, and I love playing for Miksu. He was a really good guy. I think his heart was in the right place. I think he had to clean up a lot of players that possibly shouldn't have been at the club. He had a big job in putting his stamp on that, and then that conveyor belt of getting the previous manager's players out and getting his in was a struggle. And I think Stephen Fletcher was another brilliant player that was there at the time, and I think possibly Fletch, maybe he was moving on, and I just felt at that time I maybe was looking for a fresh start and maybe looking for something new, and that was the only reason. It was nothing to do with Miksu. I had a really good relationship with Rod Petrie as well, and to be honest, I was very upset when I had to leave Hibs. I didn't want to leave Hibs, but I felt that it was probably the best thing for me to do at that time.
And obviously, you spent 2 years at Doncaster. Then you returned to Scottish football in 2011. Dean, and your dad is he was a manager at Kilmarnock, Kenny Shields. And I was going to ask you, what was that dynamic like having your dad as a manager? And would you say he was harder on you compared to the other players in the team?
Yeah, well, I think obviously growing up, he managed little bits of my youth team, so I had a little bit of experience with it. As you see now, with nearly all the youth teams that come through the age groups, there's always a dad coach somewhere, isn't there?
Yeah.
But then my dad was manager of Northern Ireland under 17s at the time. So when I was coming through the pyramid of the Northern Ireland international setup, he managed me then as well with. We had a really good age group actually with Steve Davis and Sammy Morrow that played in Scotland. We had different players that came through. Johnny Evans was maybe a year younger than us, but we had my dad managed that side. And then obviously when the move came across the Kilmarnock, I knew it would suit me because I knew the style of play he wanted to play. And I've been hoodwinked a few times with managers when you meet them to go and speak about. Come and play. We're going to play great football. We're going to pass the ball, and I knew he would definitely mean it because he had the same principles of me with the way he wanted to play, and with the type of player I was, I thought it would bring out the best of me, and thankfully it did.
And also, I thought your dad was a brilliant character in Scottish football. I thought it was a breath of fresh air. Is there any stories that you can share publicly that won't get him in trouble?
Not so much. I think you've seen what he is. I think you've seen what he's about. When he was manager at Kilmarnock, I think the press and the media loved him because he was so transparent, he was so honest, and he was so open. And I think that possibly went against him a couple of times. But one thing he did was he told the truth. And whether that was referees, whether that was opponent managing, or whether it was the media, I think he definitely wore his heart on his sleeve, and he was true to what he was, and those principles came out in his football. I think nobody played better football that year than us. I think we were so expansive. We had a brilliant attacking team. We won the League Cup, and we had some really brilliant games against the Old Firm where we played front foot football. We high pressed. We went and I think we beat Rangers at Rugby Park. We beat them at Ibrox. We beat Celtic in the cup final. And I think it was a testament to him and the team he had built and the style of play that he had ingrained in that Kilmarnock side.
And then also you speak about the cup final, Dean. That was a really special day, where you beat Celtic 1-0. And I remember watching it. Kilmarnock was so well organised. Cammy Bell had the game of his life. He was absolutely tremendous. But can you talk me through the game and what was that feeling like when you won your first major honour as a player?
Yeah, it was brilliant. Obviously, I had won the League Cup with Hibs previously, but I hadn't played in the final due to injury. But it was a great feeling. Obviously, to do it with my dad, there must have been about a couple of hundred people from where I grew up were at the final. They had all came over from Northern Ireland, and It was a big moment. I don't think much people gave us much of a hope against a really strong Celtic side. As you said, Cammy Bell played well, but I think the whole team played well that day in regards to the way we used Hampden's pitch. We made it big, we were expansive, we tried to keep the ball, and we tried to hurt Celtic when we could. And it wasn't, it was at times, I think once we took the lead, it was a great cross from Lee Johnson and Big Dieter van Turnhout. It was a great finish by him at the back post, but then we had to get can we had it was a bit back to the wall after that for the last few minutes. But I don't think it was like that at nil-nil whatsoever. But I thought we thoroughly deserved it that day.
Oh, definitely, Dean. And I was speaking to Cammy Bell a couple of years ago, and he did say it was bittersweet in a way because of obviously what happened to Liam Kelly's dad. And yeah, like it was a great moment winning the cup, but obviously a sour note in terms of what happened there.
Yeah, it was a surreal situation. It was really, really difficult moment for the whole squad, obviously more so for Liam. I think we were, as we were celebrating on the pitch, there was no awareness of what had happened from my personal point of view, but it started to filter around what was going on when we got back into the changing rooms. And I remember they were saying that Liam was away in the ambulance with his father, and then I remember then the realization of the seriousness to it. Football became secondary. I'll never forget the cup sat in the middle of the change rooms, and there was silence, and everyone was worried about what was going on. And as you said, Liam was such a great person, great teammate, and we were all feeling that for him. So it was a really sad moment after such a high of the euphoria of winning the cup.
No, definitely, Dean. And after that season, Rangers come calling for you. And talk me through how that came about. And even though they were demoted to the lower leagues, did that ever put you off at all?
No, it didn't put me off. I think Rangers came in for me. They had made a couple of signings, maybe, and I was speaking to other clubs. Obviously, I was a free agent at the time, and I had a strong season with Kilmarnock, so I was in a good position. But I think it took Rangers a while to come in for me, and I was pursuing other clubs. I was actually abroad at the time when Rangers. I knew there was a little bit of interest, but they hadn't made me an offer, so I wasn't pursuing that. Obviously, something that wasn't there. So I was about to go abroad and play, and then they actually sent an offer to my agent. So then, as soon as I knew that there was an offer there, I was signing. That was it. Do you know what I mean? I didn't really negotiate. There wasn't much. It was just right. Let's get it done. So it was just an honor and a privilege to wear the shirt, and obviously something I grew up as a young boy. I had a Rangers kit, and to play at Ibrox for Rangers is a unique situation, and it was just a dream come true at the time.
And I remember when we signed you, Dean, I was over the moon. I was like, how have we pulled this off? Because you were brilliant for Kilmarnock the previous season. I was over the moon that we managed to get you. But
Yeah.
how much a culture shock was that for you, going from playing in the SPL to the third division?
Yeah, it was tough. It was really tough, and it affected obviously my international career as well, because Michael O'Neill had just come in to Northern Ireland, and I actually, I think I started maybe two or three in a row under him, and a little bit of a brief conversation with Michael, and I knew that dropping to that division would have affected me. But as you said, there was a wee bit of uncertainty when I signed about which league they were in. I don't think there was a final decision on that, so I didn't actually know at the time. And then obviously the confirmation of going to the third league was tough for everyone at the club. But as you said, it was a culture shock, especially the dramatic differences in playing at home in front of a maybe usually we had massive, massive crowd at Ibrox, so then going to an away game, maybe Annan Athletic or one of those tough grounds to go to, and it was just a different environment, and they made it really difficult for you, and I think that was a really surreal situation for everyone involved.
Yeah, so I think reality really set home for me, and I think it was the Brechin Rangers game right in the Ramsden's Cup at the time where the ball got stuck in the hedge. And I was like,
Yeah.
oh God, this is going to be reality for the next 3 years. So.
I know it was crazy, and as you said, there were some dark days, there were some really terrible performances, there was some there the football was poor, it wasn't we weren't playing well, it wasn't we had some good players, and there was a lot of good lads in that changing room, but it was just a tough grind, and it was just about getting the club back to where it needed to be. And And it was obviously a pleasure to be part of that journey, but there was a lot of tough times. It wasn't a smooth journey back, I'm sure, as Rangers fans will agree, and anyone that was part of that dressing room the whole way through.
And what was it like playing under Ally McCoist? You got any standout stories about Super Ally?
Nah, he was brilliant. Obviously, he's infectious. He had great enthusiasm. He loved the game. He loved the club. And I think, as you said, in regards to Ali, I think he tried his best. I think I like Kenny Madol. I liked Ian Durant. They were good people. They had the club's best interests at heart. But it was just difficult. I think even the players that they'll tell you that played the whole way through, as you said, the circumstances were always changing. There was so much uncertainty off the pitch. And then obviously Ali decided to go, or there was a we were sort of protected from a lot of the goings on, but there was so much publicity around the club at the time. And I think Ali was obviously he tried to protect the players from situations that were going on that he maybe wasn't happy about himself. So everyone had to make their own decisions, and then there was a lot of turmoil and uncertainty as players and then managers moved on as well.
And obviously, you mentioned when McCoist left in 2014. When I was speaking to Cammy Bell, right, I couldn't believe this. Because obviously, as you say, there was a lot of off the field stuff going on. It was turmoil. It was a really toxic period for the club. But was it true that Rangers were pretty close to going into administration again? Because Cammy was saying there was rumblings around the club that could have happened.
Well, I'm not sure, but I remember, I think when I signed, it was maybe, was it Charles Green?
Yeah, Charles Green, yeah, to
Charles
resume.
Green was the chief executive at the time. And then I think in my time there was maybe three different chief executives, maybe, or people in charge. And every time we had a dinner in Glasgow, where we had a club dinner, they always made the same speech. They always said, "I'm going to take Rangers back to the top, and we need to get them back to where they want to be." And next thing you know, he'd be gone, and the next guy would be in saying the same thing. And it was just a difficult time. And I think the uncertainty, the financial uncertainty for the club. I think obviously us as players, we were asked to take wage cuts on an occasion where there was a lot of worry and uncertainty around that. But I wasn't aware of the club, how close they were of going in the administration, but I know there was difficulties there, and I think obviously the fans done their bit. They came out and backed us as much as they could, especially at Ibrox, and thankfully the club's at the other end of it now. But I think probably there's a lot of things that I could say that are probably best kept private for now. But I think there was a lot of tough times. I think people maybe underestimate what the players went through, what the staff went through. People like Stevie Walker, the physio, Jimmy Bell, obviously big Davey Lavery. They were the core of the changing room, and obviously out with the management group. And I think that was the pillar of the club sticking together at a really tough time, and that's what got the club back through. I think obviously getting stability upstairs helped going forward, but there was a lot of tough times in those years, to be honest.
Yeah. Who were some of the big characters in the dressing room during that time?
Well, at the start there was Lee McCulloch. I think Ali made Jig captain. I think Jig led well. Jig, as you said, Jig himself had a brilliant career in England, and he came back up and was a brilliant player for Rangers as well. And then he gave us that experience and know-how of what it took to be a Rangers player. And I think he spread that round. Lee Wallace was a brilliant captain after that. I really like playing with Lee Wallace. People like Stevie Smith, who loved the club, was brilliant pro, great to have in the change rooms. Those types of characters that knew the club, that they ingrained that on any player coming in, and I think that was vital. I think Kenny Miller, Chris Boyd came in later on, possibly in League One, maybe. I could be wrong, but Boydie came in and Kenny Miller came in, and all our lads that had played for the club previously and had done really well, had good, really good careers in different clubs around the world, like Kenny Miller had. But again, those were the leaders of the group. When they left, I think when Warburton came in, then it became I became one of the older players, one of maybe one of the more senior players in the dressing room, and obviously that had been ingrained in me. I was at an age where I was able to help with things off the pitch. Then Tavernier came in, Waghorn came in, and then the club grew from there. So yeah, there was a lot of good people that held the change room together, but as you say, probably Lee Wallace and Lee McCullough were instrumental in that.
And then obviously Rangers didn't get promoted that season, and Warburton is appointed as manager. And what was it like playing under Warburton? Because I remember that season, Dean, we played some really good stuff. Like it
Yeah.
was actually really enjoyable to go back to Ibrox because yes, we were in the Championship, we were playing some really attractive football. But what was it like playing under Mark Warburton?
Yeah, it was brilliant. I enjoyed the freedom he gave me. As you said, he played a brand of football that suited me as a player. So I enjoyed it. As you said, he had Tav, similar to that Hibs team we were talking about earlier. We had Tav bombing up the right, Lee Wallace bombing up the left, and obviously playing against the Championship teams, we were going to dominate the ball. And he signed good players. Say Waghorn came in, helped things, and we had good players, and it played a brand of football that suited me, that suited the players that he had. Obviously, Barry Mackay was coming through and was really coming to the fore. With they put a lot of faith in Barry, and I think Temps maybe was involved. He liked to play with wide players and liked to attack teams. And yeah, I thought he played a good brand of football. Davy Weir came in. I really liked Davy Weir. He was good in the changing rooms, and really good Rangers had Rangers at heart and had a great career himself. So no, I enjoyed the style of play under Warburton, definitely.
And obviously that season, Dean, Rangers beat Celtic in the Scottish Cup semi-final on penalties. How did you look back on that day? I would say that's one of the best games that I've been at. I said this to Warburton as well. Where see going into that game, we were just favourites. I don't know, there was just something in the air that day as well. When I think it was Patrick Roberts, he missed that sitter. I think that
Yeah.
at that moment I was like, right, this is going to be our day. But how did you look back on that day?
Yeah, that I'd say that was one of the best highlights I had at the club. I think obviously because of the journey the club went through and the damage that was done to then build the team, build the club back up to get in the position to beat Celtic on the pitch, because obviously Celtic were dominant in Scottish football for so long, and that was a little taste of Rangers finally getting back to where they belong, and it was a great performance. I think if you remember the game, I think John Collins and Ronnie Dalla or Ronnie
Yeah,
Dalla,
I already dialed, yeah.
Ronnie, I think they were in charge at the time, and I think they'd come to watch us play, and obviously Warburton wanted to play out from the back, and I think maybe they didn't think they would think we would do it against Celtic, and they think they tried to press us a few times, and we broke their press and we played through them, and we really dominated the ball early in that game, if you remember. And I think he played Dom Ball in the deep midfield
He
position that
did,
day.
yeah.
He had the best game he ever had in his life, I think, Dom Ball that day. But no, I think it was in the manner of which we did it. Obviously, I think Barry Mackay scored a wonder goal. But it then obviously went to penalties. But I think we deserved to win the game in 90 minutes. But it was just a massive relief and a massive lift for the club going forward, that result.
Oh, definitely. And obviously, it didn't end all that well that season. The Rangers lost the Scottish Cup final to Hibs. Looking back on it, what do you think went wrong that day? And I said this to Warburton as well, where I feel as though, like, see, because we had like 3 weeks off, you can tell some of the players were lacking a bit of match sharpness because obviously the season was still going on for other teams, so it was like very difficult for Rangers to actually get friendly sorted. But do you think that played a big factor in why Rangers lost that day?
Possibly. I just think we just didn't really turn up on the day. I think we did. I remember we went down to play Spurs reserves / youth team in a friendly. As you said, there was a big wait. Maybe we didn't have the momentum going into the game, but I would just count that as an excuse. I wouldn't look for an excuse. I just think we just didn't do enough. We just didn't do enough on the day. And as you said, I remember I didn't think that even we were going to lose the game, and then I thought we played well enough to win the game, but I think then Hibs scored from the corner kick, and I just think we just couldn't react. I just think we couldn't get going again, and I just think we just didn't turn up and we didn't do enough on the day. And I think sometimes that happens in cup finals. It's, as you said, we went through the euphoria of beating Celtic in the semis and it meant a lot, but we should have done enough to win that cup. We should have won the cup that day, and it hurt a lot. I'll never forget the pain of that, of that, and obviously the nonsense that went on after it. But it was a real blow at the time. But as you said, I can't look for excuses. I just think we weren't good enough on the day.
Yeah, because it was a real sore one as well with him. But then obviously after that, and that was your last game for Rangers. But how would you look back on your Rangers career, Dean? Because you lived the dream 4 years at the club. You played a big part in Rangers getting back to the Premiership. How would you look back at your time?
Yeah, I love it. I have nothing bad to say about the club, about anyone around the club. It was a brilliant experience. I'm really grateful, as you said, for Ali McCoy for bringing me to the club, and the time I had there. I wouldn't change it. Oh, the disappointment from my point of view was I done my knee at Ibrox against Annan. I think that affected me going forward. I had to maybe adjust my game slightly. I felt after I done my knee, I went from having that such a brilliant season at Kilmarnock to be a certain type of player, a number 10 and attacking player. I had a little bit of that like explosiveness to get away from players. I think once I done my knee, it hampered me. I had to change my game. I had to play a little bit deeper. But as you said, I had some brilliant memories, played with some really good teammates, really good players under good managers. And it was a privilege for me to put on the shirt once at Ibrox. So to do it, I think well over 100 times, it was a real privilege for me. And I look back with real proudness of what I'd done there.
100%,
And
Dean.
I think there should be more made of the journey. I think maybe people get credit, but people like Lee Wallace and people like that were there and dug in for the club. And as you said, Lee McCogg, these lads sacrificed bits of their career, I think, to help the club, and I think the club will see the benefits of that in years to come. I think they'll maybe look back on that as a key moment for the club.
No, definitely, Dean. Definitely. And just to finish off with some quick fire questions, the best player that you've ever played with?
At senior level, I would say Johnny Evans. I just feel as if he was just as a centre back. You've seen it himself, even when he went back to Man United there a couple of years ago. I think, as I said, he was elite. I thought he was a Champions League level Man United player, left foot, right foot, range of passing, reading of the game defensively. I just thought he was just top, top class compared to anything I'd played with.
The best player that you played with at Rangers.
Lee Wallace, I would say. I thought he was superb. There's some good players there. At the time, I felt Lee Wallace was fantastic. I think obviously him and Tavernier got double figures at least goals between them. I just think Lee had loads of quality, great athleticism, good pro, as you said, on and off the pitch. And I would say probably Lee Wallace.
I just want to quickly ask you about James Tavernier, Dean. I felt really sorry for him on Monday night in terms of like I think his career at Rangers deserves to end better than this. But what was it like playing with Tav, and what was it like as a character? Because for me, he's a Rangers legend, and I think some of the criticism he's received over the years has been way over the top, and it's not been fair.
Yeah, I think you have to take the rough with the smooth with Tav. I think if you look at his stats and look at his figures, look at his numbers, they're phenomenal for a fullback. And I think he carried the team. I think he showed great leadership at times throughout his time there. I think he's been a fantastic player for the club, great servant. I think people always want to pick faults in people. That obviously there's maybe bits and pieces where he could have done better here or there. But if you look at the overall package from when he arrived in the championship, what Rangers paid for him, I haven't got a clue, but it was definitely worth it.
200K, yeah, 200K.
They got their money's worth for sure. And I think he was a great pro. I know that he was away from the pitch. He loved it. He obviously was a professionally behaved right. He recovered right. He loved playing for the club. And I think he was on a journey with the club. He had some brilliant successes. But I would look at the positive side of Tav, and I think he should be celebrated. He should get a good send off. I think his For the servant he was to the club, I think he deserves his plaudits. And he said maybe he could have done better in certain situations that people seem to highlight because it's Tav. I think he gets unfair criticism more than others, to be honest. But I think he's been a fantastic player for the club. And and obviously things that come with that, the Hall of Fame and different things like that. I think he should be well in that those conversations.
Oh, absolutely agree, Dean. Absolutely agree. The best manager you've played under?
It's hard. Don't know. It's hard. Obviously, I played under some great managers. I had my best season under my dad at Kilmarnock. Obviously, it suited me playing with that freedom. Any manager who let me express myself, I would say, would be Sean O'Driscoll. When I went to Doncaster, was a brilliant coach. I learned a lot from him. As you said, I would probably pick Tony Mowbray because you said he let me have a bit of freedom and play. And as you said, I learned a lot under some really good managers. I learned a lot under some bad managers. So it's hard to pick. But as you said, I take wee bits and pieces out of all of them because they all give me opportunities, and I'm thankful for that.
And the your best moment in football.
The best moment in football, I would say just probably my best moment would be the length of career I had. Obviously, there, I had so many highs and so many lows in football, and it was a tough journey I had. And I would say that the highs outweigh the lows because there's so many lows in football from a player's career that people maybe don't recognize or don't that go unnoticed. But I would say obviously the two standards for me is one representing your country can never be matched. It meant a lot to me, and the other one was obviously playing for Rangers at Ibrox. Even getting to do that for 1 minute meant a lot. So those stand out. Winning the cup at Kilmarnock with my father, and that was a really big moment as well, which meant a lot to me. But it's hard to just pick one. But as you said, there was a lot of highs.
The best goal that you've scored.
Oh, you've caught me off guard with that one. The best goal I ever scored was actually for Northern Ireland under 19s against Brazil. If you can dig it out from somewhere, because I want to see it too. When we were playing in the Milk Cup, we beat Brazil 2-1, I think. I would say that's my best goal. My best senior goal, I think there was a few at Hibs, maybe. I think where I lobbed the keeper away at Dundee United, I really enjoyed that goal. There was different types of goals. I would like to say I scored different goals with left foot, right foot, but I'll go for Hibs away to Dundee United, the lob. So you have to show that while on the reel now after
I will
while
do,
I'm
mate. I will
talking.
do. I'll go dig out after this. And the best bit of advice you received from someone in the game.
Probably from my dad was the harder you work, the luckier you get, and I think that's something that always keeps stuck with me in regards to the work ethic that you need to form a career in football, and not just form a career, but try and stay in the game as long as you can. And I think a lot of that comes down to resilience, hard work, and that's probably what sort of stuck with me. As you said, there's maybe principles or better motivational sayings in the game, but I think you work hard and you give your best, and I think that's something that I always try to do.
And ask everyone that comes on the show this question, mate. Who's better, Ronaldo or Messi?
Oh, Messi, without doubt. It's not even close. I played against both
I
of
know,
them,
that's
by
right,
the
yeah. I think you were
way.
playing for Hibs at the time.
Aye, for Hibs against Barcelona, that was an unreal experience. Ask anyone who played that day at Murrayfield. Because that was the team that went on to, I think it was Pep Guardiola's first ever match was against Hibs for
Aye, really?
Barcelona. There's your
Wow.
quiz question.
Aye.
But Messi, there's no question over that. He's the best ever.
And so nowadays, Dean, what are you up to? I know you're doing a bit of coaching here and there, I'm sure.
Yeah, no, I'm coaching. My week's filled with coaching. Obviously, I've been managing and head coach here in the Premier League in Northern Ireland, and I enjoyed that. I enjoy being on the grass. I enjoy coaching. I've got my own academy with my family. I do with my dad and my brother, so we're very active in that. I would say I'm coaching 4 or 5 days a week with different age groups, and I love it. I love trying to give something back because the game. Football give me so much, so if I can help the younger age group coming through, then I enjoy giving that little bit back.
No, that's good to hear, Dean. But honestly, mate, it's been an absolute pleasure. Thank you so much for coming on, mate.
No problem, Scott. Thank you. Thanks for having me. Not a problem.
Oh, legend, mate. Cheers.
No problem.